Hı?
I will now open an opportunity for questions from members on the report presented by the team leader of the investigation party. Honourable Faro.
Well, mate, I hope I don't by any means feel, you know, what I ask is not coming from the heart. Because first of all, thank you very much indeed for that. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for, Minister, since July last year. You know the letters I've written to you, you know what my feelings were. My concern is, as we listen to this report, which by now, believe it or not, you know, a lot of us know about it, we've heard about it, whether you like it or not, you know, some of these things get leaked and, you know, the press listening to it. So what I'm talking about is public knowledge to a certain degree, and it's horrific. You know, it just confirms the concerns that we've had all along for what has been happening there and how it even got to that stage. But my biggest concern is, and it comes back to this question I raised with the Minister about how he's going to manage the way forward, because that's what we want to try and address. And there's no board there. And good governance comes with a board that has oversight over the roles and functions, not only on a monthly basis, but on a daily basis. And I mentioned in my first, when I opened up, the concerns I have with the shareholders committee trying to handle this. There's no way that I can see nine MECs and their counterparts coming together to look at monthly statements in terms of what's been spent there and whether they're compliant with the PFMA and things like that. The MECs have got enough on their plate, I think, as it is, and it makes it very difficult. I'm proposing to you, Minister, that maybe we need to put in place, as would normally happen in any company, organisation where they are technically insolvent, which is what the status quo here, some judicial management or administration process which will allow that monitoring to take place. Because, you know, the first thing I say is, you know, what's to say that what has been reported as today is not continuing? Is the money from the transaction fees, you know, which amount to millions, still going there for the purpose of operation, or is it actually going back to Treasury as it should do to maintain that? Questions like this come to the fore. I mean, the computer story, you know. And I'm not talking here about issues that get personally sent to me by individual staff members. It's in the public domain, and there are people that are actually there that are concerned staff members, which are right simultaneously to you, to me, to everybody. So I'm not exclusive to what I'm revealing here, and I've just spoken to my colleague about it, that, you know, the DA doesn't become the person that gets the information, you know, exclusively. I mean, people do come and they talk to us, and I believe that's common knowledge, as is the court reports. I mean, if any one of us here in this room, including my colleague here, wants to go in, you can go and pick up the judgments that have been laid now back against the acting CEO in terms of the mandate that he has and why he is fired, because people are going to challenge it, and they cost money. So I'm just telling you that, you know, it's not ending, and we need to get something in there that's going to take the management process forward in terms of labour relations, staff suspension, all those things, because you can't operate with half the staff suspended, especially the senior staff and very key staff. Now, what I'm worried about is whether, you know, these things are continuing and how we're going to hold the current management accountable. That is us going forward, because at the moment, the department, who should have oversight anyway, I don't know whether they're personally hands-on in terms of the day-to-day aspects of the game. So I raise those concerns, and I hope that by the time we finish today, we will assumably be getting a full report. And the other thing I want to raise, Minister, which is of concern to me, this is one of the entities that we have not seen sight of the annual report yet. If you go to the ACTs, it's not tabled in this house. It might have been given to the shareholders committee, but we have not seen it as a committee. Now, how do you expect us to do our work? Because what we're talking about here is in the Auditor General's report as well, and it is covered quite extensively. And we have to hold that agency accountable. I have not seen it. I've got a copy, you know, which I managed to get. But needless to say, and I won't tell you where, but the point is it's out there, but we haven't got it. Parliament, who is actually the responsible body that has this agency must report to. I'd really like some answers, because if someone's got it here, you know, then I'd like to know what's going on. I assume, Chair, that we will be getting the hard copy or something of the report that was presented favourably. Not favourably in the sense of money, but very nicely presented and very professionally done. And also, the next thing would be to look at, as was mentioned previously, the report on the pilot projects for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just in addition to what Honourable Farrell was saying, first of all, I must apologise, I didn't make an actual name. It's very well presented, and from the verbal report, excellent report, and I look forward to getting a copy of it in whatever format, be it hard copy or electronic. So thank you for the works of the lady and her team. And I'd like to ask the Minister if he could, obviously, he can't go into the detail, but what has he got in mind with this report, recommendations have been presented, what does he see the way forward? Can I then also ask the same, my concern also, that of all the entities, I think the RTC annual report would have been the one we would have got to the first, if you like, to really interrogate it and look at it closely. So I am concerned that we never got it, and perhaps the Minister could just tell us if there's a reason for it. I hear again, also unofficially, that the compilation of the figures was delayed. Can I then just say that, just one last comment, Madam Chair, is I think some of my colleagues in the committee perhaps misunderstand when I mention, for example, on this matter or other matters, that people come to myself or possibly Honourable Farrow and give us information. I receive this information, and my context, my thought process, is actually I believe passionately about transport in this country. I believe that the only way we're going to grow as an economy and become the world-class country we deserve to be in on this planet is by having a first-class transport system. So when I hear these corruption stories and this mismanagement, it doesn't bring me, and I know my colleague Farrow, joy. It's not a thing we revel in. It's something that we're disappointed and sad and disappointed about. And we use this information to then try and fix the problem. And that's why I think it was very courageous for the Minister and for the team and the work that they did in uncovering and laying out the excellent report, because it wasn't an easy job. But we, you know, when we get this information, and I want to urge the rest of the committee members from other parties, it's not here to sort of try and knife anyone and trying to upmanship or anything like that. We get this information and then we use it to try and fix problems. And we do bring it to this committee. And there's no secret agendas or anything like that. We really passionately believe that we want to assist in helping transport issues in this country. So, you know, I think it's the wrong thing, with due respect to my colleagues who are also friends of mine, to say that we need to sort of, if you like, finger the informants or whistleblowers in the department that are giving information. I think the attitude should be, here are the problems, let's try and fix it, let's try and come with a solution. So that's really what I wanted to say. It's not in the context of trying to politicize the thing. It's never been my intention, because I do believe in that we have a great challenge ahead of us and we need to work in it. There's no time for politics. We're way overdue as far as public transport is concerned, and my hobby horse, which is rail, and we need to do something urgently. And if there's corruption, if there's mismanagement, if there's theft, we need to root it out now, unequivocally, without any embarrassment. And I don't care who it is and what province and where it's happening. It must go. And we must then fix it and put in systems that actually work. Thank you.
Just before other members comment, let me just perhaps restate the obvious. All members are legitimate here, and all parties are legitimate. And the information we will get from many sources. We have got different sources. The question is, what do you do with it? And up to now, generally, members, particularly what we call the transport family, whether an MEC or a member of parliament is ANC or DA or any other party, generally people have been forwarding the, are you aware of this, are you aware of this, and so forth. So I don't think members should feel apologetic about that. You get information, forward it, and if we don't act on it, see, but you've got my letter, you've got my SMS, you've got my email on this matter. What has happened? It's a legitimate thing, absolutely. And for this baby to grow, it's that critical for all parties. It's one piece of legislation that really incorporates, because of the concurrent issue. Traffic enforcement is a local issue, it's a provincial issue, it's a national issue. It's one piece of legislation that really incorporates in the shareholders committee all the different spheres of government. Local government is there and everyone is there, so that no one should really feel apologetic about that. I think our task is to make it work, and this the report that has come from the testing through Ms. Piaha is really an excellent report, and but what is going to be more is what we do about it, and that doing about it is not so much the exclusive wisdom of Minister Ndebele, Deputy Minister Cronin, or the Chair of the Portfolio Committee. Is all of us saying, no, but yes, you are doing that, but why aren't you also attending to this and this and this and so forth? Not abdicating our responsibility, but all suggestions and proposals are most welcome. There is no way anyone can do this on their own. There's just no way. So I think all of us should really feel free with our proposals and move forward. We want to expedite this question very, very seriously to get done with this uncertainty about leadership, where you've got acting. This is not the Department of Arts, where you have acting. You must have firm leadership, CEO, and so forth, but of course we must follow the procedures, because if you try to take shortcuts, then it comes back to you again. But we really want to expedite that as soon as possible, so that we have got a firm leadership there, not just acting. The acting person has really done very, very extremely well, but we need to get certainty about that as well, so that it should not be acting forever. We hope that is concluded soon. But members really must forward their proposals anytime to the task team, to ourselves, to the portfolio committee, anytime. There's no problem about that. It's welcome.
Thank you, Chair.
Welcome to the Passport Summit.
Am I allowed to speak? I don't know. I am allowed. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for giving me this opportunity. I might be completely out of line because I'm not totally familiar with all the issues, and I haven't had a full briefing from my officials on the work of the RTMC and the problems that are there. But having heard the report, I am just a bit concerned about one area. So the report deals more with internal processes and remedial action and corrective action, etc. But the nature of the investigation is that it follows that path. But I think what my concern is really what I see the corporate governance meltdown. that is the responsibility of the shareholders. You know, the board has got fiduciary responsibilities. They have legal meaning, and there are legal consequences if you fail to take responsibility. Now, I'm led to believe that the board does no longer exist. In the absence of that, the decisions of this corporation might well be legally invalid, because there is no corporate governance structure in place. And then the legal question that can be put to us is, what is the role and responsibility of the shareholders? Have you been negligent in your duty, etc.? So I'm a bit concerned about that area. Now, there, I think, the, you know, just as a simple point of view, there might only be two options for us. Either the minister or the shareholders appoint an administrator, if the law allows that, to take over the administration of the corporation and lawfully then run. You delegate the responsibilities, and then all the actions that follow and the decisions that are taken are valid. Or, as a matter of absolute urgency, we appoint a new board of highly competent people. I don't know what the procedures would be, etc. But we have to legitimate and re-establish and restore the corporate governance structure. Otherwise, I think the Auditor General and everybody else will find us one day. I'm extremely concerned about this particular situation. And then the last thing I'm led to believe through hearsay that the shareholders committee has not been able to meet as often as it should be meeting because of the busy duties of people, etc. But the law is clear, we have to give a legal obligation to meet four times a year. At least we have to do that. I don't know if it has happened in the last year or so, but it's a legal duty on us to meet. And the minister is the chairperson, is the convener of this forum. So I think we all of us, I see some of the MNCs here, I think we have to commit ourselves that this must become a priority. I mean, the state of affairs here is actually quite shocking. I thought that the SABC was a problem. But the SABC is a Sunday picnic compared to the problem here. This has been here with us for a number of years, almost a decade maybe. So, at least from our side, from Gauteng, I think we commit ourselves to really make this one of our priorities, to give time and energy to this, and we are here to cooperate with the minister and the committee to rebuild this institution.
Thank you. Are there any other comments?
Yes, perhaps just to recap again, we currently don't have a board because we had dissolved in April of this year. In terms of the Act, as articulated, the mandate of the board is determined by the powers delegated to it by the shareholders' committee. The Act stipulates that before appointing a board, the shareholders' committee should decide on powers to be delegated to the board and the conditions it deems fit to impose in respect of the delegated powers. At present, the shareholders' committee acts as the board in order to give us enough time to select and recruit board members who will execute their task without fear or favor. So that's where we are at this present time. And I think what the new member of the transport family said is that we should expedite that. So the shareholders meet, and there is general unanimity within the shareholders about what needs to be done, and we really are very eager to have particularly the CEO confirmed, appointed properly, and so that we have a move on, because it's one of one member said it's low hanging fruits. It's one of the things that are really easy to do, difficult to say you have got the right to violate the traffic laws, and it just cuts across. And if you see the profile of the more than a million vehicles that we stopped,
no one can stand up there and say, leave me alone. I'm a member of this, I'm a member of this. You've broken the law. We are not going to arrest any forum or any union or any organization. We arrest a motorist that breaks the law. Finish. And that we are really going to be doing with the determination. But I think the appointment, the regularization of RTMC through the shareholders is an urgent matter.
Honourable Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I must align myself with the Honourable Body on that process, which I was going to think through as to when and how to do. And in the beginning, Minister, I mentioned the urgency because we're going into this period now. We actually at the end of recess, but it justifies something that may even be necessary in order to give you the power, which was mentioned by the task team, in terms of maybe some amendments to legislation. And I don't know how it can be fast-tracked in order for that to happen, because they did talk, but we didn't get details of what it would in fact mean. But I think we need to look seriously at that. And even, I mean, I'm prepared to come back over Christmas, you know, I mean, that's how sincere and really clearly that I feel about this thing and strongly I feel about it. So that enhancement that was just briefly touched on, we maybe need to have a brief look at. It might be something that you really have the empowerment for, which would allow you to regulate for, you know, something like that. But I think it needs to happen because, you know, of the period that we're going into. The other thing which I think links up to also what MEC Vardy said, and that relates to the accountability of the previous board. You know, the King Commission is very clear about, you know, the roles and functions of what they should and should not have done. And when you see 650 million rand plus minus that goes through their hands and they don't even have a point where they can actually either prevent it over this last period of the year where they met regularly and their report says so, then I have very big concerns about the management of that board and the people that were there and whether they don't have actually charges that they should be, you know, laid against them, as we've been suggested, but that there could even be criminal charges falling on in some of the staff. Because it's public money that has been wasted here, and I think that we all have a responsibility for that, and I certainly believe that we should in fact maybe even bring the Hawks or, you know, whoever into the process to be able to take that matter of your recommendations, Madam, up, and if we know who the people that we're responsible for, to certainly get them brought to book. Through the criminal justice system. And then as far as the board is concerned, I think clearly that should also be something that we should really look at and see how we can hold accountable. I mean, I just find it, you know, mind-boggling. I just wanted to bring those two matters to attention.
Is there anyone who would want to make any comments on this matter? Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the Chairperson of, am I correct? Chairperson of the Task Team. Okay. For the report. So I think some of the things that she highlighted are the things that we've already raised. I hope and believe that maybe the turnaround strategy will also try to consider some of the issues. So that at the end of the day, those issues are being addressed to avoid the recurrence. But Chair, I'm still emphasizing and also not apologetic maintaining my fact that information to the committee must be processed correctly and be brought to the attention of all the committee members. So that at the end of the day, we are at the same level of understanding what is it that you are talking about. So, while we've got the right, we've got also that responsibility to make sure that we all understand what is happening, where, and how. Because now also, you know, while we're talking about this matter, my colleagues raised the issue of the annual reports that have not been tabled by RTMC. But on the other hand, we've got that report. You know, it's somehow confusing. They need the report, they've got the report. So what report are they needing? Because they've got that report. So that is what I was talking about, that if that report ipumenjani in offices, because the procedures that must be followed. The report must be tabled by the department to the speaker's office. And that report must be referred formally to the committee for further consideration and deliberation. Then the committee must report back to the House. So if the report is on the other side, we've got copies of that report. There's a problem about the RTMC. There's a big problem that needs to be addressed. Because in a slide, the report is not then, second, that is the problem that I'm talking about, Chekut. No, we need to just avoid some of the things that are happening because they are really confusing. I think as a committee, we know our role and also our responsibility and how things should be done. Because if the annual report is not in process, according to the PSNA, the minister is supposed to table a report and state the reason why the report was not tabled. So if they were saying the report has not been tabled, but you've got the copies of the report, then it's confusing, Chair. Honourable,
I just want to clarify the reason that we have got it. That report was tabled in the province. It became public knowledge. It's not as though I'm giving out some or getting something again. But, you know, I have this cloud over my head that I'm a secret, what do they call it, people operator, you know. It's nothing secret. The report was tabled in the legislature. I mean, once it's tabled, I can go to one of my colleagues and get it from him, which I did. We have not had it here. That is the issue, the problem. Why should the provinces get it before us? Because we as accountable to this organisation as each of the stakeholder members in the provinces are.
Can I explain what is the issue that is being raised in terms of information? I could also feel that there is somehow a misunderstanding of what is it that is being addressed in as far as access to information and dealing with information. There is no one that is saying that any member of this portfolio committee should not get information in whatever way. And I think that that is where the misunderstanding started from. What was being questioned was how we then process that information, which is why I referred to the information that Honorable Farrow had and the information that I also had and said, you had the same information that I had. We talked about it in the portfolio committee, and we agreed at portfolio committee level that we were not going to have dual processes. We're going to allow the minister to deal with the issue because both of us had written to them. What we are then saying is that let's say the opposition gets the information that the ruling party members in the portfolio committee don't have. Come to the meeting of the portfolio committee and present that information so that we will deal with the information and agree on how we are going to approach the issue. Don't wait until such time that we are addressing another agenda item and then drop the information in that meeting. That is what we are saying. We are not saying people should not give information to members of the portfolio committee or blow the whistle. We are not saying so. What we are saying is that when any member of this portfolio committee has gotten information that has to do with any entity that falls under transport, bring that information to this portfolio committee so that we will all apply our minds and take a decision like we had done in the past. we took a decision on how we were going to handle the issue of the RTMC. I think I have made this point very, very clear now. Also, in terms of the report, the annual report, again, we agreed in a meeting of the portfolio committee that among all the entities, we were not going to deal with the RTMC because we wanted to first have this report by the minister because we were aware that there was an investigation that was taking place. So that when we deal with the annual report, we also have this information of the findings of the investigation so that we don't do things in. We start with the tail instead of starting with the head. The annual report has also issues that are relating to what was being investigated. And it was then going to assist us at a portfolio committee level to get this report first and then proceed to the annual report. That to deal with the annual report when the report of the investigation has not been presented to us. And we discussed this in the portfolio committee and we agreed that is how we were going to approach this particular issue. I would be surprised if then we would take a decision and when we are applying that decision, we again question ourselves about a decision that we took. Because if it was wrong for us to do that, we should have raised that in that meeting where we took that decision that we're not going to deal with the report of the RTMC. The
acting CEO,
you have your hand up?
Honorable Chair, I had my hand up, but I think you have addressed the issues that you have raised. But there is only one thing that I would like to state, and I think that's the only thing I'm going to say today, is that there was a crisis at the RTMC. There is no crisis at the RTMC as we speak. There is a lot of things we are doing. We are saying come the end of the financial year, ending 31st March 2011, come and judge us based on what we have done so far. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the minister for coming and presenting this report to the portfolio committee. I would also want to thank the chairperson of the task team, Ms. Pierre. Ms. Pierre, hey, you will forgive me for not pronouncing your surname correctly. I am Impondolale Hatting. Okay. And I also want to thank the Deputy Minister for the contribution that he has made here. We think that the issues that he has pointed out are also very important, as well as both the MECs that were here, MEC Vadi and MEC Kano. They made a very important point. But I also want to ask to recap on what is it that we were doing today. Firstly, we had a presentation in February in a strategic workshop where a problem was identified that there is a problem with the RTMC. We also received information. I got information as the chair and Honorable Faro also got the information. We discussed those issues. We took a decision that we would write to the minister and not institute a dual process in addressing issues of the RTMC. The minister took an action and then we held back at portfolio committee level and allowed the minister to come back and report to us. What the minister then did, after receiving this information, which was at that stage an allegation, he put in place a task team to investigate. the investigation confirms the allegation. And then the minister also, together with the shareholders committee, takes an action on how to remedy the problems that have been identified. Now, the way forward on this issue is that we also allow the minister, together with the shareholders committee, to implement now the remedial action that has been put in place. And we would then monitor that. And in our view, we have moved now away from the stage of crisis. We are at a stage now of correcting and moving forward. And what we would be doing at portfolio committee level is to see whether the intervention strategy that has been put in place requires any assistance from the portfolio committee level. In some situations, the support that would be needed from a portfolio committee level is when an entity requires more funding, but the responses that have been given back is that you can't get the funds that you require, or the intervention strategy that is being proposed is opposed at some level, then we would then intervene. Or also, if the intervention strategy that is being proposed requires the change of the legislation, we also come in there. So that is what we are expecting to give here as a support and allow the process to move forward. And I think that we are all at the same level now, that things are moving forward, and in our view, we would want to see all these issues moving forward in a much faster pace than it has been happening in the past. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank everybody present and declare the meeting closed. We reopen.
Sorry. Two questions. The first is, I see that we have scheduled a different strategy. I just want to clarify for myself and our presumably committee. I see we have other meetings scheduled until after the rising of the House. Can you clarify, are we going to be meeting, and if not, when will those meetings take place? We also missed one last week on important matters, so if you could clarify on that. And then, if I could ask you at the same time, we do address this. I saw on the order paper that there was going to be that debate on the China trip, and I see it's taken off. So if you could just clarify when that would happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable De Freitas, for reminding me that. After we had presented our program and it had been approved, a decision was then taken. Our program was based on the fact that we were not going to rise, the Parliament was not going to rise this week. That is where we based our program on. And then after it had been approved, we were informed that the Parliament is rising this week, meaning that we will no longer have those meetings. What we then did was to change the program to prioritize those things like this report and this and take out those meetings that we could, those issues that we could still deal with next year. Also, on the issue of the report of the study tour to China, I was called by the Office of the Chief Whip to try and understand, because we have this conference that we were invited to attend, which also relates to our trip. And the advice to them was that do that leg as well, go to that conference, and then include in your report what you would have observed in the conference, but also discuss now with the minister the transformation of the department, so that when you are reporting on your China study tour, you debate that study tour in the context of the transport transformation, as opposed to discussing the study tour alone. And that is where we left issues. And then he also advised that we do that next year, because we would not have time to do that now, because the trip that we're going to is happening in December, and then we would come back and have the strategic workshop before we debate, so that what would have been presented by the department in the strategic workshop would form part of our debate. We incorporate the study tour report, the study tour to China report, as part of that debate. Thank you. If there are no other questions, let me just take this opportunity and thank all members for being so good during this year. This is one committee that said there are no fights. We resolve things, we address things constructively. We have frank discussions, but we don't necessarily fight. And I would like to also indicate to the media, if they would want to follow us, that we'll be having an oversight at a very crucial time when other committees choose not to have oversight. We'll have an oversight that starts on the 12th of December. We are targeting the taxi ranks and the bus ranks to actually identify what happened during busy periods in those areas. And we would appreciate if the media would follow us in those areas. We will divide ourselves into three different groups. One group will go to three provinces, and we will visit the most congested areas, so that we can give a publicity on what we see, so that when we come back to discuss those issues and propose changes that need to take place, you are not only coming in to report about the proposal and not seeing what we are doing. We would really appreciate that you follow us and go to those that we do that. Thank you very much. Have a lovely Christmas.